Hello.
Hey, Michael, Dan Reeves.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm good. I was not sure if I had the right time or not. Was about ready to message you to make sure that we were all good still.
No, no good. I was just at away from the phone, so I didn't get it.
Okay, no worries. Are we ready to go?
Ready?
All right, here we go. In 3, 2. One. Hello, everybody, and welcome back once again to the Great Scott Podcast. Today, I am joined by legendary NFL coach and football player, Mr. Dan Reeves. How's it going, Dan?
I'm doing good. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good. I'm good. And I was actually telling a friend yesterday that I was going to interview you today, and we both agreed that if there was someone who has contributed more to the NFL than you have, you would be on the top 10 list right there.
Well, I was very fortunate when you're involved in something for 39 years like I was. I was very fortunate to have been at the right place at the right time and with the right people. Coach Tom Landry certainly was a big influence on me and got me started. And I was fortunate enough to have a profession that I never dreamed about as a kid that turned out to be a great profession for me.
And let's talk about Coach Landry for a second, because that's something that I wanted to talk to you a little bit about. You say that he was a big influence on you, but talk about his legacy right now and the effect that he still has on the NFL today, even.
Well, without question, he was a great football mind. I don't know that even through my 39 years that I ever had anyone that I knew that had as much knowledge about offense and defense and special teams as much as Coach Landry did. He would meet with the offensive coaches and do the game plan each week, and then go over the next day and, do the game plan with the defense. I had a tough enough time as a head coach just to do the offense, game plan. I had to hire people that I had confidence in to do the defense. But Coach Landry was involved with both, just had a great, football mind. And he was a great recognizing, understanding, the things about computer and, getting information in that, you could use as far as scouting, as far as, getting the game plan ready offensively and defensively. He just, broke the ground for an awful lot of us to utilize some, thoughts and things that he did that, helped us, do our job in the NFL.
And he also got you involved with the, and something that I also wanted to talk to you about was you're also a man of faith. Mr. Landry got you involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes as well.
Well, no question. He was one of the ones that helped start the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And, Coach Landry is one of those ones that, just talk about it. His faith, he led it, every single day. And I was fortunate enough to, have played under him. But then when he asked me to be a player coach and, started being involved with him, not only on the field and in meetings, but also, then looking at film, getting ready, doing a game plan and so forth, and spending, almost, probably 10, 12, 14, 15 hours a day, with him, I got to know exactly what kind of person he was. And, the things that he talked about was the same way he led his life.
Was Coach Landry the same way off the field as he was on the field?
Very, very competitive. Anything that he did, it didn't make any difference what you were involved in. He was competitive as any person I've ever known. He definitely played fair, but he wanted to win, and he wanted to do anything that he could to possibly, even in golf. I mean, he used to get ready in the off season, to play golf. We couldn't get him to go out and play for at least 3 or 4 weeks till he had several lessons, got his game toned. He was just so competitive. He was going to be ready to, to win when he went out and, and played gin golf.
What were some of the pregame rituals that you guys had, and maybe even when you were a coach with some of your players that you had before you guys hit the field?
Well, we had a Bible study. We always had a speaker, and Coach Landry was great at knowing good Christian speakers, and he could, get them to come in, and they always had, kind of a life story that, something that influenced them and how they became a Christian. And, so it was very informative, and they always, talked from the Bible. And that was the thing that was impressive to me. So we always had that. It wasn't mandatory, but, you know, it was probably pretty well covered by everybody on the team because all of us, you know, would hear from others who had been there, you know, of what great experience it was. And, you know, so the entire team was almost always involved.
And I have to tell you, Dan, I mean, if there was one ministry that has really done their job well, it is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, because you see that a lot of sports athletes, not just in football, but also in baseball and basketball, are very much men of faith as well.
Well, no question. And I think that's what, you know, started it out is, you know, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes was getting, you know, a bunch of players together that were able to express their faith and talk about, you know, all the problems that they had in their life and how God, you know, helped them with a lot of things that they were involved in, not in football only, but also off the field. So I think it's something that's helped an awful lot. You know, there's a lot of kids that come along that aren't raised in a Christian home, and it's an opportunity and a chance for them to hear God's word for the first time.
Absolutely. You have camps also that kids go to that they also have the Bible preached at as well. And yeah, I mean, you just can't beat what they're doing pretty much. And I just admire their perseverance through it all and the impact they've had on sports.
Well, no question. I mean, the camps that they have in the summer, you know, where it brings kids from all over different parts of the country and brings them together. You know, you see that you aren't the only one that struggles with certain problems and so forth, and how God can really help you. And, you know, studying the Bible can really help you, you know, overcome those things. So, yeah, I mean, FCA has done an awful lot, and they'll continue to do that because it's such a great organization.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's I think, headquartered in Kansas City, if I'm not mistaken, which is where I'm
correct.
At. Yeah.
Yep, correct.
Right across from Kauffman Stadium. So I wanted to ask you, Coach Reeves, I'm sure that you've had to probably deal with this even in your playing career and even with the coaching career, but you see some players today, and football has gradually, I think, over time changed in certain ways. I mean, like some players off the field will go out and party and just be rowdy and all that. How was it that you dealt with the locker room discipline, per se?
Well, I think you certainly have rules and regulations because you do have young people, like I said, who never had, you know, not only a Christian background, but also a lot of times not have a father in the background. And so you have to, one of the things that makes you a good football player is your discipline. And there's certain things you can and can't do. And, you know, to be a team player, you kind of, you know, show them that they've got to have the discipline to, you know, get to bed, get their rest, do the things that they need to do to be the right kind of player that they can be.
Was Michael, because I know that Michael Vick played under you, and that whole ordeal that he went through, was there talk of maybe getting rid of him, or was there some kind of suspension that was in talks there?
Well, you know, Michael, first of all, is, you know, a great example of what I was talking about. A lot of kids don't have that father figure in the background. And Michael came from a, you know, very difficult background. When we drafted him, you know, coach at Virginia Tech told me that, you know, Michael was a great young man, but he needed leadership, but that he didn't have the father figure. And, you know, you just need to kind of, you know, guide him and help him go in the right direction. And I did I think a good job of doing that. You know, when I was coaching Michael, we would meet almost every week, talk about what the problems were and also, you know, what he was going to have to deal with. The more popular you become, the more people want a part of you. And you got to be careful about who you associate with. And you know, I think, you know, Michael did a good job of that. I think, unfortunately, when I left, you know, he didn't have that, you know, meeting every week that he needed to have that guidance and so forth. And, you know, it's not an easy road to travel, particularly when you have, you know, the success that Michael had. Everybody wants a piece of you, and a lot of times those people that want a piece of you you know, won't you, because you're the one that has the money, you have the,
right.
you know, the reputation and so forth, and, you know, they want to be a part of it, and they drag you down with them because, you know, unfortunately, those people don't have a lot of company, and they, you know, misery loves company, so
Absolutely.
They drag you down.
So, so do you miss coaching at all?
Oh, I think you miss so many things about coaching that, you know, the competitiveness that you have. You know, I can play golf every single week. It just doesn't, you know, have the same competitiveness that,
right.
that I got from, you know, from coaching. But, you know, it's just not only are you responsible for yourself, but you're responsible for, you know, 53 other players, you know, coaches. And there's so much responsibility that you have that, you know, it excites you. And then to have that competition every single week, you know, and you can have that disappointment, but you have the next week, you know, to come back and, you know, try to turn it around and get going in the right direction. So it's just so much about coaching that yeah, you miss those things. You know, there's a lot of things, the salary cap, stuff like that you have to deal with that I don't miss. But, yeah, the competitiveness and the relationships that you have, yeah, I miss those things.
So so when you were a player and even as a coach, was it hard for you to balance what you had going on at home and then being on the road, having to deal with all that as well, knowing that you guys had a game on the road and then maybe your family was back here? And was that kind of hard and challenging on you?
Well, there's no question that's challenging. I was very fortunate that, you know, I married my high school sweetheart. We dated through high school, dated through college. Got married, you know, before my senior year in college. We've been together 50-something years. And believe me, she was a mother and a father for our children. She did a great job because, you know, probably, you know, 3 months, you know, you're particularly gone away from home because of training camp and so forth and getting ready for the season. And, you know, she has to be a mom and a father. I was fortunate enough to have a great wife that, you know, took care of our kids and raised them in the right way. And, you know, we had a great relationship. Still do.
Yeah, that's kind of the backbone I hear of all major athletes. When they're on the road, they have a great, great wife that keeps the children company and raises them. And they say that that's kind of the part of their success.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, you've got to have a great relationship. You know, a great family life to, you know, you can't be doing a job that you need to do on the field if you, you know, if your home life's not, you know, in the right way.
Now, there's one other thing that I wanted to ask you about was you played in the Ice Bowl of 1967. Was that your coldest game that you have ever played in?
Without question. Without question. I even start thinking about it now. I start getting chills. So,
oh.
Yeah, it was quite an experience. And, you know, I tell people all the time, you could talk about it. And you know, they just can't understand exactly how cold it was. I had never been involved in anything close to it. And, you know, it was just one of those unusual circumstances where the temperature dropped from like 19, you know, above the day before to 17 below. So you drop 36, 37 degrees overnight. You know, it was just a miserable situation. And, you know, I still have a scar where my tooth on the left side of my top upper left got knocked through my upper lip. I still have a scar there that still, when I shave, I have no feeling there. You know, and thing about it is my tooth went completely through my upper lip, and it didn't bleed.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever busted your lip and not have it bleed? That's how cold it was.
Man. And this was up in Green Bay, right?
Green Bay.
Yeah.
Correct.
And around that time frame, you had a lot of players that went on to become Hall of Fame players. Inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, we had a great, you know, football team. You don't have the success and go to, you know, as many playoffs and championship games as we did, you know, without having a lot of great players and great coaches. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be a part of it and surrounded by an awful lot of, you know, great coaches, but also surrounded by an awful lot of great players.
And in total, as far as a coach and player goes, you've been to 9 different Super Bowls.
Yeah, and don't don't talk about how many we won.
Okay. You know, actually, Marv Levy is the same way. He said that he's been to three separate Super Bowls, and he said, yeah, let's not talk about the end result of that. Yeah,
the people, you know, that's the thing about it, and people don't realize, you know, it's a great reward and outstanding, you know, accomplishment to get to Super Bowl. But when you lose it, you know, it's just such a long off season.
Yeah.
I mean, you had a great year. There's all many kind of games, championship games that you won that you can talk about. But everybody talks about it, and you remember it's the last game. And that whole off season just haunts you because you lost that last game. And that's what motivates you, you know, to come back at, you know, that next year. And so I had a lot of motivation to get ready for the next year. But I would have much rather try to teach you team how to handle success,
right,
of winning one, rather than talking about losing it. So
Coach, you've been very generous with your time here, and I just want to ask you one more question here. What advice would you give to someone who wants to get maybe playing the pros or even go into coaching?
Well, I think it was certainly not something that I, you know, thought would ever be possible, you know, that I would be good enough to play in the NFL. And you know, I was fortunate to get an opportunity and a chance, and there's an awful lot of, you know, opportunities out there, but there's an awful lot of good players, too. And so if you get that opportunity, just dedicate yourself to be the very best that you can be, to give it everything that you've got. And if you give it everything you got and you can look yourself in the mirror, then you know you've done everything you could to be the best that you can be. And I do think that if you do those things, you may not be successful, you know, at being an NFL player or a coach, but you're going to be successful in life because those are the same qualities, you know, the dedication, the determination, hard work. Those are the same things that are going to make you successful at whatever you could, you know, just end up trying to do to make a living.
I was talking to Ron Mix, and I asked him the same thing, and he said football's a dangerous game. I mean, you look at the Hall of Famers that are now in wheelchairs, and it's just a very, very dangerous game, so...
Particularly if you're a slow running back like I was.
Oh.
you have two artificial knees and two artificial hips. So, yeah, it's tough. There's no question. It's a physical game. And like I said, I've had, you know, both knees replaced, both hips replaced. But if somebody asked me, you know, was it worth it, I'd say you bet. Because I learned lessons that have helped me, you know, in life, be the man that I am. And I would recommend football for anybody, to do the best that they can, because life is tough. You know, there's tough things about anything that you do.
And yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was talking with a friend of mine, and football and life just kind of go together. The lessons that you learn, like you're talking about, just to piggyback on what it was that you're saying there.
Well, there's no question. I mean, you know, you're part of a team. You got a job to do, but you depend on 10 other players when you're out on the field. You depend on your defense when they're on the field. You know, you depend on the players and the backups to help you get the best that you can during the week. And that's the way it is in life. And in any business you are, you don't do it by yourself. You know, you do it because you depend on other people and getting other people, you know, to do their job and help you become successful. You know, it's what life is all about.
Right, right. And also the discipline factor as well. I would throw
in there. No question.
Absolutely. But Coach Reeves, thank you so much for your time, sir. God bless you.
Well, God bless you. You have a great day.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.